evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. I'm your host, John Tanza, on this live broadcast from Washington. Here are some of the top stories making news across South Sudan and the rest of Africa this Tuesday, December 24th, 2024. Some families in South Sudan will celebrate Christmas on empty stomachs.
But I did not receive the whole year salary since 2024 January up to date. So it has been affected my daily life. We have been working like bats. You know, bats can sleep at night, and then in the morning they went out early for daily survival.
And the Biden administration imposes visa restrictions on peace spoilers in South Sudan.
We note the continued failure of South Sudan's leaders to use their nation's resources to the benefit of its people. Their failure to end public corruption and elite capture of the country's resources. Their failure to protect the people of South Sudan from abuses and violations of their human rights, including civil and political rights. And their failure to maintain peace.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. For most households in South Sudan, Christmas festivities are subdued because of a worsening economic crisis. Most government employees in the country have not been paid for a year, forcing some to develop survival tactics. For VOA News, Sheila Pony reports from Juba.
Deng is an officer in the South Sudan National Police Service, earning more than 110,000 South Sudanese pounds a month, or 40 US dollars, but he does not know what to do during Christmas. Deng, who didn't want full name used to avoid retaliation, says his salary is not enough for food, education, and medical expenses for his children. And he says he has waited for 12 months to be paid.
Now, in Christmas time, there is no salary, no even one month salary.
Civil servants were last paid some of their overdue salaries from 2023 in August. Deng says he is still waiting for his pay for this year.
But I did not receive the whole year salary since 2024 January up to date. So it has been affecting my daily life. We have been working like bats. You know, bats can sleep at night, and then in the morning they went out early for daily survival.
South Sudan is an oil-producing country, but the ongoing conflict in Sudan has disrupted the flow of oil exports to international markets. The devaluation of South Sudanese currency and higher food prices have worsened the situation, forcing families to look for other means to survive.
God is the only one who will rescue us. I have seen now some people just like 20% within the society that are enjoying the good life, and then 80% including us with the organized forces and some civil servants. We have been stopping with this economic crisis.
Most civil servants in South Sudan also are struggling like Deng, trying to survive as they wait for their pay. The head of the Catholic Church in South Sudan, Cardinal Stephen Ameu, challenged the government to see the plight of civil servants.
Of South Sudan need to pay the salary for the worker. That can improve the situation of the people in short term, way. But we need the government to plan strategically for how to sustain the government.
Cardinal Ameu says the church will continue to pressure the government to remember its obligations to civil servants.
We cannot stay for 12 months without salary, and we expect that people will survive. But because the people of South Sudan are resilient, they are able to survive until today.
The spokesperson for the South Sudan People's Defense Forces, Major General Lul Rai Kong, says soldiers are expected to receive their salaries from last January this week.
Now we are receiving our salaries. Most of our financial officers, they are at the central bank. Central bank is working today.
President Salva Kiir plans to introduce austerity measures in 2025 and cut expenditures. Michael Makwe, the national government spokesperson, says the move will save the country's resources, which can be channeled towards paying civil servants.
He gave us the steps or the measures that he intends to take during this coming period. As you know very well, this is a difficult period, and as such, we need to strengthen and improve on the apply proper control measures in order to control this unnecessary expenditure.
The austerity measures may include cutting down on overseas travel for government officials and medical services outside the country.
Meanwhile, our hospitals here are the best now here in the region.
Makwe says the government also plans to stop its heavy reliance on oil revenue and will look for alternative sources of income, such as broadening the tax basket. The country's oil revenue supports up to 90% of South Sudan's national budget. For VOA News, I am Sheila Aponi, reporting from Juba.
The U.S. Department of State announced plans to impose visa restrictions on individuals accused of obstructing sustainable peace in South Sudan. A Juba-based independent political analyst praised the move, saying any effort aimed at promoting accountability in South Sudan is important. For VOA News, Dengai Deng reports from Bor.
The United States is taking steps to impose visa restriction on several people of being responsible for or complicit in undermining and impeding a sustainable peace in South Sudan. Matthew Miller, the U.S. Department of State spokesperson, read a press statement issued Monday in Washington.
We note the continued failure of South Sudan's leaders to use their nation's resources to the benefit of its people. Their failure to end public corruption and elite capture of the country's resources, their failure to protect the people of South Sudan from abuses and violations of their human rights, including civil and political rights, and their failure to maintain peace.
The United States expressed strong concerns about the South Sudan transitional government's lack of progress in meeting its commitments under the 2018 peace agreement. The agreement requires creating conditions favorable for effective humanitarian aid and for conducting an election. A national election was supposed to be held this month, but it was postponed 2 years. Here is Miller again.
The United States had hoped to join the people of South Sudan this week in celebrating their country's first election since the creation of an independent Republic of South Sudan. Instead, we mark another missed opportunity for the transitional government of South Sudan to bring the cycle of election delays to an end and respect the people of South Sudan.
Baboya Jemis, a Juba-based independent political analyst, praised the U.S. move to impose visa restrictions on officials responsible for undermining peace efforts in South Sudan. He says the U.S. should continue to demand accountability in South Sudan.
Let the government of South Sudan take this visa restriction more positive in a way that they improve the will they have to begin to bring peace to South Sudan, and that they need to stick to the implementation of the revitalized peace agreement, including committing to finalizing the Tumaini Peace Initiative.
Baboya says the Kenyan broker talks, known as the Tumaini Peace Initiative, are one of the key requirements for bolstering the 2018 peace agreement. The U.S. government says its actions demonstrate its hope to strengthen democracy and the rule of law and to promote accountability for those failing to maintain peace in South Sudan. Efforts to reach Michael Makwe, the South Sudan Information Minister and government spokesperson, for comments on the visa's restrictions were unsuccessful. For VOA News, I am Deng Gaideng in Bor.
As families prepare to celebrate Christmas and usher the new year 2025, Some VOA listeners in Kenya are grateful for the services of the Voice of America in Kenya. Here are some of their messages.
I would love to wish Voice of America a very, very Merry Christmas and a prosperous 2025. For me, Voice of America means a lot. Having that I live in Africa, I usually listen to Voice of America English to Africa service. And we are so proud to know that we can get a lot of information on radio, social media, the web, television. And they have very nice programs. And me as an audience, I get a lot of information, politics, sports, music, health, business, entertainment, science, and all that. Voice of America, to me, it is like a second home. So once again, I pray Merry Christmas and a prosperous 2025. I am so happy to know that I'm still going to choose Voice of America come 2025.
I'm happy that we've reached the end of the year. We and Voice of America, we've been friends every day in the morning, afternoon, and evening. It's been our news center. I wish you a Merry Christmas and a happy and a prosperous year 2025. If I had a dream to share it with Voice of America, I would have told them that it would have been better if they increased the coverage in the entire continent, that is Africa, because most of everything that we hear from Voice of America is educative or it's something that will happen. Africa will best share the knowledge that Voice of America will be giving them in the days to come.
I hope you all at Voice of America will have merry, bright and cheerful Christmas, and I wish you happy new year full of joy and blessings. You all at Voice of America and listeners around the world, happiness ahead of the new year. My wish is that 2025 should inspire Voice of America to rise. Warm wishes to you all at Voice of America.
As we approach the festivities of Christmas and New Year 2025, I would like to wish all listeners of the Voice of America, wherever you are, a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Allow me to use the words of the Book of Numbers. May God bless you and keep you. May he let his face shine on you and be gracious to you. And may he show you his face and bring you peace. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year 2025 to you all.
Yes, I would like to share holiday greetings with the Voice of America. The year is over and New Year is coming. I just wish the Voice of America Merry Christmas and a prosperous New Year.
James Shimanyola collected these voices of our listeners in Kenya. If you would like to send your Christmas greetings or New Year greetings to us, our WhatsApp number is +1 202 630 8011. And we shall sample some of your messages tomorrow. You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, South African miners are trapped underground. Find out why after the break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what skill would you most like to master?
I would love to learn how to use my hands, that is craft work. Making the baskets and doing more of the clay at work.
So I think I will go technology any day, anytime. So mastering what I do already, which is practically technology, which is software development, applications development, analysis and data mining.
I would love to play the organ. I love it. I love the sound. I would want to have it at home to play to my family.
Now many people don't like to be teachers. So for me, I'm willing to be.
I appreciate people that I can sing because I can't sing myself and I don't have a very good voice. So I will go for singing.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. In 2024, lobby groups from Africa's coal sector regularly made a case for the continent to continue to burn the fossil fuel to generate electricity until stocks are depleted. These groups argue Africa's development will slow if it abandons coal. It's unfair to expect it to do so when rich countries had centuries of coal use to build their economies. New data, however, show that Africa's continued coal dependency will threaten not just the continent, but the entire planet. Darren Taylor reports from Johannesburg.
Alize Leroux of South Africa's Centre for Industrial and Scientific Research is one of the continent's leading geoinformatics scientists. For the past 3 years, she's collected and analysed data to determine Africa's climate and energy future. Leroux's study shows the continent needs a mix of renewable, nuclear and gas power going forward, and that long-term burning of coal will be damaging. Currently, says the scientist, Africa produces less than 5% of the carbon gases that heat the earth, causing the extreme weather that sparks intense droughts and floods.
We are expecting that emissions will peak at around 2033, then it will plateau and then it will slowly start declining. Africa's share, however, of global emissions is set to increase significantly. So currently, 5%. The continent will contribute roughly around 11% by 2050, mid-century, and then potentially reaching 16% by 2063. So this trend, I think, really highlights Africa's growing role in global emissions, and it underscores the urgency of a transition to cleaner energy sources.
Should African nations continue on the current trajectory of large-scale coal burning, says Leroux, the continent will replace China as the biggest emitter of greenhouse gases in 2065, with almost 30% of global output. She says Africa will soon be the only continent where emissions are rising. This is despite the rollout of renewable energy systems such as solar farms to replace coal-fired power stations in some of Africa's worst carbon polluters. But while countries such as South Africa are making progress, says Leroux, carbon outputs in Democratic Republic of Congo, Egypt and Nigeria are increasing significantly.
So Nigeria's contribution by mid-century is expected to be around 20% of Africa's contribution. And this rise in emissions really is the result of factors such as rapid population growth and expanded industrial activity and rising energy demands. So Nigeria, specifically for Africa, because of its large oil and gas resources, will really be a major player on the continent in terms of contributing to this problem. Actually, we are forecasting that by mid-century, Nigeria on its own would contribute around 4% of global emissions from fossil fuels.
South African environmental researcher Kgalego Mkumbeni describes Africa's continued use of fossil fuels as self-destruction. But, she adds, richer countries have a responsibility to pay Africa to keep its coal and oil in the ground.
I think we need about $15 billion annually for adaptation on the continent. And Africa receives, I think, less than 4% of global funding when it comes to climate finance, which is so little considering the fact that we lack the institutional capacity to deal with adaptation. So you already see that there is a substantial funding gap.
Mkumbeni says it's entirely possible for Africa to industrialize and develop using only clean energy. But this dream scenario, as she puts it, won't be realized without trillions of dollars in financing, money that Africa alone will never come up with. Last month at the United Nations Climate Summit in Azerbaijan, wealthy nations pledged to triple the amount of climate mitigation funds available for developing nations to $300 billion starting in 2026. Climate activists and some world leaders, however, said even that amount would be too little. For VOA News, I'm Darren Taylor in Johannesburg.
Hundreds of illegal miners trapped in an abandoned gold mine in Stilfontein in South Africa's northwest province will spend Christmas Day underground. The government has yet to begin a promised rescue mission. Families of those underground are angry and disappointed. Tuso Khumalo reports from Johannesburg.
For the first time, Tandeka Zinzi Tom will spend Christmas Day without her brother Ayanda Tom. He is one of the hundreds of illegal miners who have spent months in an abandoned gold mine in Stilfontein. When the government announced over a month ago that a team of mine rescue experts had been assembled to rescue the miners, Tandeka says she was hopeful the return of her brother alive would be the best Christmas gift. She is unhappy with the government's position that her brother and others with him are criminals violating laws against illegal mining.
Sometimes hunger can make you to be brave. For me to risk my life to go down there, I think I have went through some serious thought to say that, but let me risk it for my family to give them ends meet.
The government rescue team has not yet begun the actual rescue mission. 2 weeks ago, Police Commissioner General Fanny Masemula told the media that the government will need up to $54,000 a day to carry out the rescue, and the government is still working on securing the funds. Lena Minyuzeya is distraught. Her two sons, Tinashe and Tawanda, will not be joining her at the Christmas dinner table this year. They have been underground since February.
Just like I'm crazy, I don't know. Because, you know, I don't know what I'm talking. But it's too much. It's too much. What I want my children. Yeah.
Johannes Kankase, a community leader in Stilfontein, says the government gave them false hope that it would rescue the miners.
It's very painful to us as community leaders. As concerned community leaders, it's very painful. It's very devastating because we must understand we had hope when the government said it's going to enhance or intervene in resurfacing the people underground. But to date, nothing has happened.
Mameshwe Sebei, a human rights lawyer, wants the government to stop telling people that the miners are free to resurface. He says those miners who have voluntarily resurfaced have explained why many are not coming out.
I see that government is engaged in whole propaganda of, you know, falsification of the actual situation here. They tell people, well, people can come out when they want. But the reality is those tunnels are flooded. Many of these people are extremely weak, being emaciated, being dehydrated, being extremely weakened by lack of medication. And the idea that these people can just easily crawl their way to that other side is not realistic.
Initially, many of the men who were working in the mine illegally refused to come out because they did not want to be arrested. Wessels Mureng, Northwest member of the Executive Council responsible for safety, defended the police for refusing to go down into the mine to force out the miners. He says cameras sent down the shaft revealed that there are heavily armed people underground. President Cyril Ramaphosa has said the illegal miners will be dealt with humanely, but said that upon resurfacing, they will be arrested and prosecuted because they had committed a criminal act. South Africa bans mining in pits that mining companies have abandoned because they had become unprofitable. The government says illegal mining is dangerous and is often run by gangs. In addition, the government loses millions of rands a year in revenue from ore sold illegally. Reporting for VOA News in Johannesburg, I am Tuso Khumalo.
Israel has taken over a buffer zone between Israel and Syria and says its forces will not withdraw until it is sure that residents of the Golan Heights border area will be secure. Linda Gradstein reports from the Golan Heights.
The majority of the some 20,000 Druze residents on the Israeli side of the Golan Heights welcomed the fall of the Assad regime. The Golan Druze are an Arabic-speaking religious minority, most of whom consider themselves to be Syrian citizens and have extended family on the Syrian side of the border. Many, like Druze social activist Nabih al-Halabi, say they hope for a new democratic regime in Syria which will make peace with Israel.
I will stay in my house. I will not leave my house if it's Israeli regime or Syrian regime. But we hope and we believe, I believe personally, that in the next few years, Israel and Syria will be more close to make a peace agreement and real agreement.
The long Syrian civil war and the current situation of social and economic uncertainty have pushed young Druze in the Golan Heights into identifying more with Israel, according to Dolan Abu Salah, the mayor of Majdal Shems, the largest Druze town in the Golan. He has worked as an Israeli local official for 16 years.
Since the fall of Assad, we have experienced people here getting closer to Israel. The one who has proven that it can ensure security and human rights, especially for those living adjacent to the border, is the state of Israel. It is the stable factor here.
Others in the Druze community say they worry about the rebels now leading Syria, who were previously associated with Islamic fundamentalist groups. They fear that the rebels will not be as tolerant of the Druze minority as was the former secular leader Bashar al-Assad. Atta Farhat is a Druze journalist.
First, let them cut off their beards and tone down their Islam. After that, I will agree that they will take charge of Syria.
The intentions of the Islamic fundamentalist rebel groups now leading Syria also worry Israel. Immediately after Assad fled, the Israeli army moved into the buffer zone between the Israeli side of the Golan Heights, which Israel occupied in 1967 and later annexed, and the Syrian side. Israel says it has no intention of staying in the buffer zone permanently, but wants to make sure the residents near the border are safe. Stefan Cohen is the former commander of the IDF liaison unit to UN forces in Syria and Lebanon.
We cannot judge because, you know, the regime collapsed just on the 8th of December. So that's just the, you know, in the short term, it looks stable. But we don't know what will happen in the next few weeks and months.
The rebel leader and de facto ruler of Syria today, Ahmed al-Shara, says that Syria is exhausted by war and wants peace with everyone, including Israel. After more than a year of war against Hamas and Hezbollah, Israel too is exhausted. But both sides are waiting to see what happens next in Syria. Linda Gradstein, VOA News, on the Israel-Syria border.
That's all we prepared for you this Tuesday, December 24, 2024. We now leave you with Ras Corby and the song, and then Abelet Jadid. We've been listening to Ras Corby and the song and then a Belet Jadid. Ras Corby's band is called Podu. Podu in Bongo means fire. I'm your host, John Tanz, on this live broadcast from Studio 14 here in Washington. On behalf of our producer, Mokbil Yebaru, and engineer Bill Bass, we wish you a happy holiday. Remember to join us tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.